welcome to everyone that's in the house this morning. For those that are our first time guests, we welcome you. For those who are returning a second time and a third time, we want to say welcome. Amen. If you're here for the first time, would you lift your hands? Or the second time, if you're here, come on, let's give the Lord a praise. Amen. For our sister, somebody just reach over and give her a good God bless. Amen. Hallelujah. For those online, we say welcome to church. You know, this season, many of our people are out with the influenza. Amen. The cold, the flu, it's just strong. Amen. But we pray grace this morning. Amen. We decree and declare healing in the bodies, the sore throat, the coughs. We command it to go in the name of Jesus. Let's stand as we look into the word. We're going to go over to John chapter 20, and we're going to read from verse 3. We're in this series that's called Aftermath. The Aftermath, where we talk about what happened after the resurrection. And verse 3 says, Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple, we know the other disciple is John, amen? And the other disciple, and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, which is John, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. And he saw the linen cloth lying there and the handkerchief that he had, that had been around his head, that is Jesus' head, lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and he saw and believed. Amen. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must be raised again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. Verse 11 says what? No. I want to put your attention to the first word. What does the first word say? The first word says, but. But shows a change in the situation. But shows a turn of events. But Mary stood outside. By, now, John came and John left. Peter came. He saw, he looked in. He saw the handkerchief. He saw the linen. But guess what? What he did? He left. He went back home. But somebody stayed. Somebody lingered a little longer. Someone remained at the tomb. And the Bible says, but Mary, she what? Stood outside. Oh, mighty God, when hope is gone and all looks dim, dark, and broken, the Bible said, they that wait on the Lord shall have renewed strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not. Mary stood. Mary stayed in place. Mary was not moved by the fact that Jesus was not there. All she wanted was to know where Jesus was, and she stuck around a little longer. That's why this morning I hear the Spirit of God says, it is time for the church to stick around a little longer. Wait a little longer for God. Do not give up. Do not throw in the towel. It is not the end. The end does not come until God says it is the end. The end will not come when the enemy looks like he's about to beat you up and rob you of your future. God says, I'm on my way. Wait on me. Be of good courage. I will bring it to pass. She stood. She stood her ground, even though she looked in and she saw the linen cloth and she saw the handkerchief and she didn't see nobody. She did not run away. Sometimes when we don't receive the instantaneous miracles and victories that we want to see, where's my musicians? Mighty God, we get ready to run. We get ready to say God is up to nothing. But I want to tell somebody today, stand your ground, stay rooted, stay planted, stay growing, stay in the presence of God. Linger a little longer. Wait a little longer. Don't give up. Don't give up. Stay right where you are in God. Victory is around the corner. Tell two people, victory is around the corner. All you gotta do is wait. All you gotta do is be patient. All you gotta do is say, God, I'm right here. I'm ready to do what you wanna do, how you wanna do, when you wanna do. I am here. Hallelujah. If Mary had left, she would not have had the experience and the encounter that she had. You see, sometimes we come to church and soon as the clock struck 12, we're like, oh, pastor, you need to shut up now and let me get going because I got places to go. Just like Peter and John, they say, no, Jesus is here. We're out of here. I'm going to go and tell them Jesus is dead, because they did not understand, even though they heard it over and over and over. Jesus said, if you destroy this temple, I'll build it back in 3 days. If you put me in the tomb, on the third day I will rise again. He was going to Jerusalem. He said, the Son of Man will be afflicted. The Son of Man will be turned over to the elders, and they will kill him, and they will hang him on the cross. But on the third day, what this showed me was that we can hear things and not understand. We can hear, but we do not understand. You could have your seats. We can hear, but we will not understand. The Bible said they have ears, but they will not hear. I want to talk to you about delayed gratification. In this society that we live in, everything is quick. Everything is 1, 2, 3. You want a package tomorrow morning? Listen, last night I went on Amazon and I ordered some tickets. When I woke up this morning, the tickets were at my door. If we want some stuff for church, we order it today. By tomorrow morning, early, Amazon leaves it at the door. In the world we live, everything is quick, quick, quick. 1, 2, 3. Your food is cold. You pop it in the microwave. And guess what happens? Your food gets hotter. So we think that's how God works. We think God is overnight. We think God is one. Yes, he is. He could do whatever he wants to do when he wants to do. But there are times he said, just wait. There are times God just says, wait, you got to hang on by the tomb a little longer. You got to stay by the brook a little longer. You got to hang out by the river of the Spirit a little longer. You got to pray a little longer. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. What do you think that is? You can get anxious in a moment. Hello? You can get anxious instantaneously. Anxiety hits you 1, 2, 3, and you begin freaking out, and you begin, you become hopeless. But the Bible says, I don't want you to be anxious. I don't want you to be a wreck. What I want you to do is to wait in prayer. I want you to wait in prayer. Prayer sometimes seems like God is not moving. And we go to God and we say things like, when God? When God?
When are you going to heal me? When are you going to give me my financial breakthrough? When are you going to save my family? When are you going to do this? When are you going to do that? When am I going to get an increase in my job? Mighty God, but what God wants to do is actually break you. What God wants to do is to teach you a lesson that will become a platform for a lifelong stream of blessings. But we don't want to hear that. We want to get up, get into the presence of God, receive 1, 2, 3, automatic, instantaneous. But God is saying, I'm looking for a church that would be patient. I'm looking for a people that are patient. What does it mean to be patient? To be patient means that you are waiting and you're not worried. Somebody needs to write that down. I am waiting, but I'm not worried. I am waiting and I'm not going out of my mind. I am waiting and I'm trusting. When it said they that wait on the Lord, it means that those who are remaining in faith, those that are remaining with joy, those who are remaining with hope, those that are waiting with an understanding that if God started it, he's going to finish it. He know part A, part B, part C, and D, and he's going all the way to Z. We're waiting on God with understanding that he is who he said he is. So you're waiting and you're not worried. Number two, you're waiting and you're not angry. You are waiting and you're not angry. You see, sometimes we get so much in the flesh after waiting a little bit. And we begin to take things in our own hands. We begin to take things into our... Can I show you an example of that? Saul is going to battle. In 1 Samuel chapter 14. He's going to battle and the enemy is in front of him. And the army of Israel is with him. But all of a sudden now, the people begin to scatter. The people begin to scatter, meaning his army begin to scatter. Why? They were supposed to wait 7 days for the prophet Samuel to come. 7 days they were to wait for Samuel to come. At the end of 7 days, or when the 7th day got there, Saul took his eyes off of the promise of God and off of the word of the prophet, and he began looking at the people. You see, if you're going to wait on God, you can't look at people. If you're going to wait on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, you can't look what Tom is doing. You can't look what Jane is doing. You can't look what Harry is doing. You can't look what Bernadette is doing. You can't look at your friends. You can't look at your coworkers. You got to keep your eyes on Jesus. Hey! So Saul got frustrated because his trust was in man. His trust was in man. The Bible says putting confidence in flesh is a snare. Putting your trust in man is a death trap. Putting your trust in people, you're bound to be doomed. But some trust in horses, some trust in chariots. We will remember the name of our God. Saul says, bring me the burnt offering. He's getting ready to step out of line. You know why? He's worried. He is worried that the enemy will come in and destroy him. You know why? Because people are leaving him. When God begins to scatter people around you, all he is saying is, I'm getting ready to move on your behalf. I got to strip some things and some people from around your life that I may come in and do what I want to do, how I want to do, when I want to do. Because as long as I keep these anchors around you that you are looking at, you're drawing strength from people and not from me. Saul was drawing strength from the numbers around him. But when the numbers begin to move, Saul says, I'm going to take it into my own hands. I'm going to do it my way. It does. Oh, hold on. He was doing a right thing, but the wrong way. He was doing the right thing at the wrong way. He was not the hands to present the sacrifice. God wanted a sacrifice. God wanted a burnt offering. And before they went into battle, they would give God that burnt offering. But guess what? He was the wrong person for the job. He was not anointed. I want to tell, I don't know who this is for. Do not overstep your boundaries. Your parents are your parents. Your parents are your parents. Your boss is your boss. Your pastor is your pastor. Leave what needs to be done by them. It is their job.
So Saul decided he was going to help himself because he was worried. And the moment he did the burnt offering, the Bible says, Samuel showed up. If he had waited a little longer, I'm talking to you, church, be patient. And when you be patient with courage. Good courage. Good courage. Don't be cast down. Don't be, oh my God, walk around hopeless. The problem is, church, we walk by the flesh and not by the Spirit. Because if you walk by the Spirit, you give the Holy Ghost opportunity to tell you what God is up to. I'll go that again. I said, if you walk by the Spirit, you give the Holy Spirit opportunity to let you know what God, because who knows the mind of God? It is the Spirit that knows the mind of God. So Saul went ahead. Presents a burnt offering. Samuel shows up. Samuel says, Saul, you have done foolishly. You have done foolishly. You act like a fool. And Samuel says to him some hard words. And he said, let's go over to, I think it's 1 Samuel 14. Mighty God. Verse 11 says, and Samuel said, what have you done, Saul? When I saw her, look at his answer. Saul said, when I saw that the people were scattered from me. Who the people were scattered from? Him. And that you did not come within the days appointed. And that the Philistines gathered together at Michmash. Then I said, the Philistines will now come on me at Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord. Therefore, I felt what? Compelled. How he felt? He did not hear that from God. He heard that from his mind. His mind compelled him. Listen to me, church. Our minds need to be renewed. I said our minds need to be renewed. God is not looking for people to serve him from their mind. No, he's looking for people that will worship him in spirit and in truth. My spirit cries to his spirit, and my spirit confirms that he is Lord. He is Savior. He is God. He is my deliverer. He is my sustainer. He is my joy giver. He is my peace. He is my shield. He is my buckler. He is my confidence. He is my strong tower. He is my hiding place. And Samuel said, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now, oh God, now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel. How? Forever. God would have established Saul's kingdom forever. But because he was not patient, he was not willing to wait a little longer. Sometimes, you know how we act? We act as if God does not know what God is doing. Yeah, we behave as if God does not know what he is doing. The Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes, there is a time for everything. There is a time for everything. The car you desire, it is not coming. There is a time for it. The house you desire, it is not coming. There is a time for everything. You might be married and you're waiting for children, and God is saying, do not be frustrated. You're looking at everybody's getting pregnant and you're not getting pregnant. There is a time. There is a time for everything. Times and seasons belong to the Lord. Times and seasons are in his hand. Verse 14 says, but now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not what? Kept the Lord's word. Because what? He was not willing to wait. I want to speak to you, church, this morning. Be patient in this life. Whatever you're trusting God for, wait on him. Be patient. Stand still and know that I am God. It is he that performs it. Listen, do not go after instant gratification. You see, for Saul, it felt good, so he did it. It felt good, so he did it. You see, sometimes in marriage, you just want to tell your spouse off. You know why? It makes you feel good. It makes you feel empowered. When you're driving and someone cuts you off, it feels good to give them a piece of your mind. Don't tell me it doesn't. It sure does. Listen, I did it before. Yeah. All you holy folks who never did it, God bless y'all. I remember one time I was going home, you know, and I was on the Van Wyck, and one guy cut me off. I pull up alongside the guy. I wind my window down. I said, bro, I got my kids in here. Like I could do the guy anything. That doesn't change anything. But you know what could have happened to me? He could have pulled a gun out and pointed at my window. It felt good in the moment, but it was not the right thing to do. I want to tell the church, you know what the right thing is? To wait on the Lord. Wait. Mary stood at the tomb. You know what she did there? She was looking for Jesus. That's all she wanted to see. I want to ask you this morning what it is you're looking for. I want to encourage you, church. Don't look for a good preacher. Don't look for a good worship team. Look for Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. He's the author. He's the finisher. Don't look for a good husband. Look for Jesus. Don't look for a good wife. Look for Jesus. All things that pertain to life and godliness has been provided. He knows what you need before you ask. If he takes care of the birds, he's going to take care of you. If he takes care of the lily, he's going to take care of. Trust him. Proverbs chapter 3, 4 and 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. He will direct your path. So we're at the aftermath. She's at the tomb. And we know what happened. Verse 12 says, then she took a second look at verse 11. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white, one at the head and the other at the feet, the feet where Jesus was laying. Then they said to him, woman, why are you weeping? You know why she was weeping? Because they have taken away my Lord. I want to ask you today, Jesus might be your Savior, but is he your Lord? Is he the Lord of your life? Is he the captain of your life? Is he the one in control? Is he the one that is steering the ship? Is he the one that is piloting the plane? Is he the one that is large and in charge? Listen, you can get saved, but Jesus is just a savior. I want to ask somebody today, is he your Lord? Meaning where he leads you, you're going to follow. What he says is what you're going to do. What the word says and how the word says to live, that's how you're going to live. She wasn't just looking for a man. She was looking for her Lord. Be patient in your walk with your Lord. Be patient, wait on him, and God will bring it to pass. So Mary sees the Lord. She did not recognize him at first. He rose triumphantly, and then he says to her, he said, Mary, go and tell my boys that I'm alive. Let's go over now to 19. They're waiting on him again. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when you shut the door, that means nobody can get in. You see, at my house, we don't have keys for the storm door because we don't expect it to be closed. But sometimes, there's some people that live in my house that choose to close the storm door. And when we come home, the storm doors are shut. That means I can't get in even in my own house. So when doors are shut, that means there is no access. There is no access. You know, sometimes you shut the doors of your heart to God. Sometimes we are Christians and we shut the doors of our heart to God. You are in despair and he says, I want you to sing a song unto me. You're like, no, God, I can't do that. It's too heavy. You're going through trials and tribulation, and he says, pray. Because when you pray, you not only talk to God, he talks to you. And you're like, God, I can't pray. You're feeling pain in your hip, and God says, dance. You're like, not today, Jesus. I'm not dancing. It's the Holy Spirit that is impressing this on your heart. And you're saying, no, I shut the door. Let me go to another level. You get paid and God says, I want you to give 50% of your pay into my house. And you're like, oh, no, devil, I rebuke you. Oh, no, I rebuke you. What you did there, you shut the door so that the Holy Ghost can't move. I want to challenge this church. Whenever you're getting ready to give your tithes and offering, you talk to God about it. And you say, God, I know I'm giving my 10%, but what it is I need to give today. The Bible says he loves a cheerful giver. Whatever measure you give is the measure that shall be given back to you. I want to pull the lids off of your giving this morning. Be patient even in your giving. When you're getting ready to give, don't write quick and don't punch quick. Just say, Lord, the Bible says, submit everything to God. Yeah, we give him everything. He is first and foremost. When you're getting ready to give, I want to teach you a new thing today. When you're getting ready to say, Holy Spirit, what is it you want me to give? You know, God may tell you, don't give. I don't think that's possible, because if you don't sow, you can't reap. Amen? But God will tell you what to give, when to give, how to give. You don't have to limit God. I want to tell you, church, put God in control in every area, every aspect of your life. Give him first entrance. First entrance. So the doors were shut. I want to tell you, open up the doors of your heart. But even when it looks hopeless and they were worried and they were saying, man, the Jews were going to come and they're going to kill us and they're going to crucify us just like Jesus. The Bible says when the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. The doors represents hopelessness because they were afraid. and they were worried. But Jesus is able to come through even when the doors are shut. You know what happened there? He was no longer in a body that was restricted to human elements. No, he was in a glorified body. So he can come in and he can go out as he pleased. That is the power of the resurrection. That is what makes Christianity, Christianity. It's because we serve a risen Savior. We serve a glorified King. We serve the Lord of Lords. So why not wait on him? The doors were shut. Jesus walks in and he says to them, peace be unto you. Skip over to 21. So Jesus said to them, again he says it, peace to you. Peace to you. Whatever situation you're going through this morning, I want you to receive the peace of God. Receive the peace that Jesus gives. You might be sick in body and you're feeling hopeless. Receive the peace of God. Receive the rest of the Spirit. Let the Holy Ghost penetrate your core and let him, oh God, administer the gift of peace. This peace flows from the Spirit. This is not good words. No. Isn't peace a fruit of the Spirit? Yeah, it's produced in you by the Holy Ghost. Let's back it up. And look what happened next. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, what he did next? He breathed on them. He breathed on them and said to them, what? Receive the Holy Spirit. What he said? Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they will be forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, what happened? They are retained. Jesus walks into the room and he gives them his peace. But next he did something. He breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. You know what? If you walk through this Christian life without the help of the Holy Ghost, you are doomed to fail. You are doomed to fail. Why? Because Jesus said, I will pray the Father that he will send a comforter who is the Holy Spirit. I will pray the Father that he will send the Holy Ghost. Now, what happened when Jesus walked the earth, the Holy Ghost was within him. The Holy Ghost was restricted to him. But after he died, after he paid the price on the cross, and he rose triumphantly, he defeated sin, hell, the grave, and the devil. He defeated all principalities and power. And what else he did? He put them to open shame. He made a display of principalities and displayed their weaknesses. And he disarmed them. What he did? He disarmed them. Now, after he did that, the Holy Ghost was then released to every believer. To as many as receive him, to them he gives what? Power. That power is the Holy Spirit residing on the inside of the believer, so that now my spirit, by the Holy Spirit, can cry that the Heavenly Father is my Father. So now you can live with peace. You can live with hope, because what? Greater is he who is in you. Who is in you. So now the Holy Spirit tells us, the child of God, wait. The Holy Spirit says, be patient. Because isn't the fruit of the Spirit patient? Yes, it is. The fruit of the Holy Ghost is patient. So what he does, he produces within you patience to wait and long for what God wants to birth in your life. I want to tell somebody, hold on a little longer. Do not give up. It is not the end. God, if God be for you, who can be against you? The Bible said, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. In your process of waiting, don't get frustrated.
Don't get anxious. Spend time in prayer. Spend time looking back, giving thanks. Say, Lord, I am 40 years old. I'm 50 years old. I know, God, your word says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor the seed go begging for bread. I will never be doomed. I will never be under, because I am the head and I am not the tail. I'm above and I am not come on, I am, oh my God, I am empowered to prosper, because he said he's given my hands the power to get wealth. But all I got to do is to wait on him. Meditate on his word. Don't let the word of God depart from your heart. If God is Lord of your life, he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed. If you want to remain in peace, let the word of God be on the surface of your heart, that you don't have to look deep, but it is so full that it is overflowing, that your word of God is overflowing. The Bible says, memorize it, get it in your heart. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against. Let me show you another waiting that happened after the resurrection. Same chapter 20, verse 29. So when Jesus met them, Thomas was not with them. Thomas was not with them at that encounter when Jesus came through the door, when the doors were closed. But look at verse 28. Thomas says, I must see him. I will not believe. In verse 25. Then the other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. So he said to them, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and I put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Thomas said, I got to see to believe. I got to put my hands in the nail prints. I got to put my hand in his side. And when I do that, that is when I will believe. Look what happens next. And after how many days? 8 days. After 8 days. Imagine Thomas going around for 7 days. He said, that is not true. You all just had a vision. Or you were just hallucinating and you thought you saw Jesus. But Jesus made him wait 8 days. Listen, God is God. We got to be patient and endure. Be patient and endure. Do not give up hope, church. What God promised, he's able to do. He then shows up to Thomas on the 8th day. And he said, Thomas! Mighty God. His disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the door being what? Shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your finger here and put it in my side. Do not be faithless or unbelieving. Do not be unbelieving. Church, let us not go around being an unbelieving people. We are believers in Christ. Amen. We believe that he rose from the dead, but we also believe that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above. Listen, man, God is not up to limited move. God wants to do something spectacular with you. God wants to do something spectacular in your family, but you got to believe. Unbelief blocks God's hand. I'll say that again. Unbelief blocks God. You might say, I have faith, but do you know you may have faith and unbelief? Let me tell you. Remember the man that came to Jesus and he said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Sometimes our unbelieving needs help. Our unbelieving needs help. We need to get rid. We need to rid our heart of every trace of unbelief, because unbelief blocks the supernatural power of God from flowing. When he came down the mountain of transfiguration, what did he say to the disciples? He said, "Where is your faith? Where is your faith?" Do not be an unbelieving church. If Jesus is Lord, he is able to do what he has promised. He said, "I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you," meaning that this situation will not take you out. It shall not overflow. He said, "You will go through the floods and it shall not overtake you." He said, "You're going to go through the fire and it shall not burn you." If he said it, he is able to perform it.
So now look what he says to Thomas. And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." What is he now? His Lord. He is now his God. He's not just the Messiah anymore. He proved that he was Messiah. Now he says to him, "My Lord," meaning Jesus, whatever you says, go. And you know what Thomas did next? Thomas left his circle among the Jews, and Thomas then went to India. Church history shows that Thomas was the one that took the gospel to India. He left his comfort zone with his Jewish brothers and sisters, and because Jesus was now the Lord of his life, he went down all the way, travel, and got down to India and began preaching the gospel to a people who did not know of this God that we serve. Why? Because he now believed. What is holding you back today? Is it your unbelief? You have faith that he is his Savior and that he washed away your sin, but are you convinced that he is the Lord of the universe, that he is a God, that all things were made by him, and without him, nothing was made that was made? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness. It all belongs to him. So now he believes. And look, verse 29. This is all about waiting in God. And Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen." Because what? Because you what? You know, people always say, "When I see, I'll believe." You hear those things, right? "When I see it for myself, I'll believe it." But God is calling the church to a place where we're going to walk by faith. I feel like preaching this morning. He said, "I'm calling you to a place where you can't trace me, where you can't see no signs of hope, but the fact that I am your Lord, it is good enough for you to step out on the water and say like Peter, 'Lord, if it's you, bid me to come.' If you're walking on water, I'm going to walk on water just like you." That is where our faith needs to get. But look at the blessed hope for you and I. Verse 29. Thomas said, Jesus said, "Thomas, because you have seen, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." You know what blessed mean? Blessed doesn't mean that God is coming with a wand and anointing your head with oil or pouring oil. No, blessed means happy, joyful, satisfied, encouraged, refreshed are the ones that have not seen but yet believe, that believes in the supernatural, that allows by faith the super comes into the natural, and God does something that is impossible where they thought you were down and out, and God said, "I'm gonna put my super in your natural," all because you believe.
God is calling his church today for patient endurance.
Wait a little longer. Don't be like Saul and go ahead of God. Don't be like Thomas and doubt. God has a way of doing things, and his ways are very peculiar. There are times you call and he answers right away. There's times we lay hands on the sick and they get healed right away. But then there are times we pray and nothing happens. Hello? We pray and nada, zilch, nothing happens. There are times we pray and oppression goes and depression goes, but then there are other times you pray and it's like nothing happened. You think something's wrong with God? I got news for you. There is nothing wrong with God. There is nothing wrong with him. Remember Lazarus? The Bible said Jesus loved Lazarus, but yet he allowed him to die. He allowed Lazarus to what? Die. That when Jesus even showed up 4 days later, 4 days, 4 days later, you're telling me Jesus loved him? That's some weak, weird love. That you love me and you got all powers in your hand, but you would allow me to die. But Jesus shows up 4 days later when all hope was gone. When his sisters knew, they said, it is the end. It is over. Martha runs and meets Jesus when she heard that he was coming. And she said, Lord, I know my brother will live in the resurrection when the resurrection happens. But Jesus said, listen to me, Martha. You got to put the horse before the cart. Right now, you got the cart before the horse. He said, listen, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Resurrection power is in the room this morning. Jesus is with us in this room. Every dead thing comes alive. But Martha had to wait. She had to be patient. I'm telling you this morning, let Jesus be the Lord of your life. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. He will give you the grace to go through. Let me tell you, grace does not mean, oh, no. Grace is unmerited favor. He will give you the favor to go through. You know, sometimes when we pray grace, you think that I'm just being pity. And no, when I say grace, I believe that God is empowering you. I believe that God is giving you favor. I believe God is working miracles. I believe I'm not using grace as an excuse. No, I am praying that grace is grace and grace will stand. His Bible says, my Bible says, his grace is sufficient for me. So it's either we believe or we don't believe. It's either we know who he is or we don't know who he is. But this morning I want to encourage your heart. Wait on God. Wait on. You're not waiting for man. You're not waiting for your boss. You're not waiting for your friend. You are waiting on God.